The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Our national parliament is now less powerful and less sovereign, which gives Irish voters less direct say over how we are governed. So writes David Quinn in the Sunday Independent. We're joined by him and we're joined by Bobby McDonough, former Irish ambassador to the UK and EU. David, reading your piece, you're suggesting that we are less powerful and have ceded a significant amount of power to the EU, but you cite a vote of the Irish Parliament over which the EU had no power.
So the piece was in the Sunday Independent yesterday, and thanks for the opportunity to discuss it. So it was prompted by the jostling for position in the new European Commission and our nomination of Michael McGrath for whatever position he gets. So it kind of prompted me to ask the question, what kind of European Union do we eventually want to see happen? Because obviously the European Union has been evolving over time, has greatly changed since the European Economic Community that we joined in 1973. Now, I want to make absolutely perfectly clear, I don't think in a million years that we should leave the European Union. I'm no kind of advocate of that. But just as here in Ireland, we sometimes wonder, does Dublin have too much power? Should it be more decentralisation in Ireland? And that doesn't make you anti-Irish. And the same kind of perfectly valid and legitimate question applies to the European Union. That is,
But are you asking a question or are you making an argument?
Well, first of all, I'm asking the question, which is how much centralisation do we want in Brussels? Because clearly the more centralisation you have in Brussels and the more power the EU institutions have over policy, then the less power and influence the national parliaments have. And if the national parliaments have less power and influence, my argument would be that the voters also have less power and influence. So we need to know, we need to decide as a country, and our politicians need to know and decide, just how much centralisation do they want? And we as Irish people also need to ask the question.
But this is the bit that I don't understand, this, David Quinn, is why do you then cite a vote of the Dáil as the catalyst for this discussion?
Well, because the EU Migration Pact, all right? So obviously, yes, our Dáil has voted to do that. But once that power is gone, it's very hard to get back. Now, at least on this occasion, it was a 79-72 vote in favour. So it was a tight vote. So that was a good thing to say. But I'd argue that there wasn't really sufficient debate about that beforehand.
But this is a vote of the Irish Dáil. This is our Parliament's choice. This isn't an EU choice. This is an Irish-controlled decision by Irish elected officials in an Irish Parliament.
I think this is avoiding the overall question, which is how centralised we ultimately want the European Union to become. I mean, the Irish Parliament can hand away sovereignty if it wants, and it can keep on doing that incrementally, by the way. And at a certain point, we wake up one day and we discover that we have a very disempowered national parliament and therefore a very disempowered national electorate. And, you know, again, the question is, and it's a perfectly valid question, how centralised do we want power?
But sorry, David, I'm not coming away from your... I mean, your core argument is rooted in that vote. You begin, for better or worse, Ireland has now signed up to the EU Migration Pact. The vote in the Dáil was close, 79 favoured, 72 against. You then go on to cite Denmark's non-participation in the pact as evidence of its independence. This is an issue for the Irish Parliament. This is an Irish vote. This is proof of Irish parliamentary independence, not interdependence.
I don't really see it that way, no.
But the law does.
Well, so we voted, obviously. So we went into the euro, all right? We're moving, so we have a common EU foreign policy. There are moves towards a common EU defence policy. All right. So bit by bit, incrementally, we see a more centralised European Union emerging. And the Irish people may vote in favour of this and that, or they may not. Because
can you give us a specific to support any of that?
You're not really, I don't think you're particularly hearing the argument.
No, I'm asking for a specific to stand it up, David.
Because the argument again is, and the question again is, how centralised we want the European
Union. Indeed, and my question again is, can you give me a specific to stand any of that up?
But sorry, I've already given you several examples.
No, you haven't. You've given me several broad assertions. I'm asking for a specific illustration of a singular piece of legislation that applies.
Okay, well, you're getting badgery here, in my opinion.
That's your opinion. I'd still like the specific that I've asked for.
I've given you several examples, and the overall overarching argument is the more power we see...
Again, we have the same sweeping assertion again and again, David. I'm asking for specifics.
I think you're making assertions as well. I mean, look, it is
There's a significant difference between an assertion and a question. The question remains, can you please provide a specific to stand up anything that you're saying?
I have just given you the Migration Pact as an example.
The Migration Pact is an example of Irish parliamentary power. It's not an example of EU power.
I'm going to give you other examples, which is the bit by bit, the national veto over areas of European Union policy is being ceded in favour of qualified majority voting.
Where is that?
Sorry, this is in numerous areas of EU policy. They want to get rid of the national veto over foreign policy, for example.
Where in Ireland?
The qualified majority voting. So what do you mean, where in Ireland?
You say that we are giving up power in respect to the veto over foreign policy. Specifically where? In what instance?
Sorry, I said there was a move to do this.
And I'm asking again for a specific instance where that has occurred in terms of undermining Irish parliamentary power. That's your core assertion.
Sorry, and you know, we're talking across purposes here. If you have ever more power centralised in Brussels, then you have less power in our national parliaments. Even if the national parliament chooses to do this, the fact is that the national parliament has ceded power.
And we return to broad assertions. Let me bring in Bobby McDonagh, who's with us. Bobby McDonagh is former Irish ambassador to the EU and the UK. Bobby, maybe you might want to engage in the broad assertion. Do you think there is a shift towards a more centralised EU power?
Well, I think it's right that we start from the reality of where we are. The European Union can only act where that has been agreed by all the member states to share sovereignty. So there isn't a constant ceding of sovereignty either at the European level or at the Irish level. As David said, you know, Parliament can hand away sovereignty just like that. So it's only where all of the member states have agreed to act that they can act together. And there hasn't been a further move or major move in relation to changing the treaties unanimously since Lisbon, which is well over a decade ago. And it's unlikely that there will be another intergovernmental conference for quite some time to come, and it will be very difficult to get unanimity there. There will be serious questions to ask about the veto, because we live in a very dangerous world. We have Putin marching up and down at one end. On the other hand, we have possibly Trump coming back in America. There will be questions about the veto. It won't happen for quite a long time. And when it does, there would have to be unanimity to change it, not just Ireland, but every country across Europe. Now, the particular issue of migration, Ireland has an opt-in because of the relationship we have with the UK. It's a little bit different. But our right to opt-in was approved by the Irish people in referendum. And as you pointed out, we've done so in a parliamentary vote. I think that it's also important to emphasise that the judicious sharing of sovereignty is not a bad thing. I mean, there are some areas where we won't share sovereignty. We're not going to let Europe run our health service or our education system or so on. But in the areas where we have pooled sovereignty, it has broadly served us well. And you only have to look at what's happened in the UK, which the large majority of people, even in the UK itself, now see is a bit of a disaster. That Britain can, of course, take decisions alone. It can do whatever it wants in its parliament, but it has less control over the decisions that affect it and less influence in the world.
And do you get a sense that there is a legacy of Brexit, that is, there is an element of contagion among EU member states? Is there a scepticism about the project that there wasn't in recent years?
I think there's two things going on. And on the one hand, there is a rise of right-wing parties, which in some European countries, which broadly matches, you know, what's happened in the UK with Nigel Farage and so on. But it's not as big a rise as is made out by much of the media. I mean, the centre has held in the European Parliament elections. The Christian Democrats have won more seats. The Social Democrats have more or less maintained their level of seats. But there is definitely a rise. It shouldn't be exaggerated. The second sort of related question is, does that mean there are more countries wanting to leave the European Union? And the answer is resolutely no. I mean, you have Meloni, the right-wing leader in Italy, who's now become quite pro-European. You have Marine Le Pen in France, who has dropped the idea of leaving the European Union. Because when people see what a disaster it is, and I recognise that David fully recognises that as well, as he said it at the outset, it'd be madness to leave the European Union. So, yes, there is a shift to the right, a bit more scepticism. There by no means a majority, but there isn't a growing movement to leave the European Union because of the example of Brexit.
David Quinn, let me go back to you. One of the things that you repeat throughout the piece that we're discussing is a question about to what extent Europe should have centralised power. What's your answer to that?
But I mean, like I want to say, this interview is a classic example of why it's very difficult to have a rational discussion on the Irish Airways about the European Union.
Because of your lack of a specific?
No, hang on. You have continually badgered and interrupted me because you clearly don't like my argument. You allowed Bobby to speak. He's a very articulate man, Bobby. I completely respect and bow to his knowledge of the European Union because he worked in it for many years. But you didn't interrupt him at all. So clearly you don't like my argument.
It is you who has the thesis, David, and therefore it is you who I am questioning about that thesis. You got twice as much time as Bobby McDonagh got, and the reason you got asked the same question repeatedly was for the lack of an answer to it, which was, could you cite a single specific? And though you criticised the interview, you continued to fail to do that.
Well, I don't agree with you there because look, you don't accept plain facts. A country can give up its own sovereignty. It can give up its own sovereignty voluntarily. It can also give up parts of its own sovereignty under pressure from outside forces, as happened with our corporate tax rate. Our corporate tax rate, as I mentioned in my column, for years and years and years and years, we said this is our red line. We are not going to raise our corporate tax rate above 12.5%. We were under pressure for years from countries like France, then Joe Biden becomes president, and he puts more pressure on us, and suddenly we cede that red line.
So do you cite the corporate tax rate as a specific indication of us giving up our power to the EU? Is that correct?
That is an example of us ceding sovereignty on an issue that we said was a red line.
To the EU?
And you see, you don't seem to accept.
No, I'm just asking for clarity on that. Are you saying that's where we cite... No, just let's get clarity on your point. Are you saying that we ceded power on our corporation tax to the EU thanks to EU pressure?
It was a combination of pressure from countries within the EU and also from the United States.
Right. So how does that relate to our European membership then?
I said that straight away. Now, you see, you don't seem to accept that any kind of centralisation ultimately means loss of sovereignty. And I'm sorry you're talking about
it. Again, I'm asking the one question until we've worn a hole in an iron pot, which is for a singular specific. You can give us an example, a very good example, of where we have ceded a decision to international pressure, including the US. I'm asking for a similar example where we have ceded sovereignty to the EU, which is the core of your thesis. I'm just asking you to stand up your own argument.
Several examples, and you are not accepting them.
They being?
I mean, I think you're being obtuse, frankly, in not accepting them.
They being?
I mean, if I try to say black is black, and you won't accept the answer.
They being?
Centralisation to EU institutions clearly means less power for the national parliament, and it seems to me you have no problem.
And again, we return to broad assertions and no specifics. There is little point in us continuing. I'll give you one more shot if you want, David. Do you want to give me a specific?
I have given you several specifics.
David Quinn, thank you very much. That is David Quinn. And before David, we had the former ambassador to the UK and the EU, that being Bobby McDonagh.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.